This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. No Craig Mish here with us today. He is, you know, doing some really intense scouting on the Miami Marlins. He's there at spring training. This is Christmas for Craig. He absolutely loves spring training. George, for me, Christmas is, I mean, I love the NFL scouting combine, and I also love, you know, all of these transactions. I am just waiting on bated breath for all these quarterbacks to move and for, you know, Schefter's next tweet, Rap Sheet's next tweet, and we're here. I mean, the scouting combine is over. We are about 6 weeks away from the NFL draft. It is on. It is rocking. Derek Carr has basically, Schefter reported, he has agreed to join the New Orleans Saints. Hearing it's going to be a four-year contract. We don't have the terms of this agreement yet. We don't know how much money is going to be involved. My guess is quite a bit. My guess is that Carr is going to get something close to what the contract he got with the Las Vegas Raiders was, because if not, George, he would have just signed with the Jets probably.
I expect this contract to be bigger than what he had with the Raiders here, because I can almost guarantee you that his agent knew that, hey, we can get a better deal here. If not, they would have just accepted a trade to the Saints originally and kept the original contract. So I'm guessing it's going to be a pretty nice contract. I think, Davis, it'll be a weird contract in the fact that the Saints are way over the salary cap, right? You're talking millions and upon millions of dollars here. I think it's going to be a very big signing bonus, something they can spread out over the length of the contract, which we're hearing is 4 years. And they'll go from there here, because they're going to have to cut other players here. Michael Thomas is probably not going to be there, among others there. So good for the Saints here, but bad for a few other teams that may have wanted them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the New York Football Jets probably don't feel that great about it. And I mean, look, it's not just the Jets. There are plenty of teams that are going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason. And depending on, you know, I mean, we have so many guys who are going to decide what they want to do. Like, Lamar Jackson might just be like, I'm not playing for the Ravens. I don't care. Like, I don't want to play on the franchise tag. I don't want to play in the fifth year option. I want to be paid like a great quarterback. You know, like there's so many ways that this stuff could go. I mean, I guess let's focus in real quick for fantasy for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, do we anticipate Derek Carr being much better for Chris Olave, for Juwan Johnson, for Alvin Kamara when he's not suspended? I don't believe we've got the official length of suspension for Kamara. I think the rumor is 4 games right now, but we'll end up seeing how many games he's actually suspended for. Like, do we think that this is a better than lateral move for the New Orleans Saints? Do we think that having Derek Carr as your quarterback for 17 games makes them markedly better than Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton?
Well, listen, we don't know what went on with Jameis Winston, right? I mean, really strange that they never went back to him again last season. I don't understand that. Andy Dalton at this point, I mean, you talk about he's an old man behind there, right? What's he going to do for you? So it was strange to me they didn't go back to Winston, but hey, maybe there's a personality clash there, whatever. So they didn't want him. Do I think Carr is better than Dalton? Absolutely. I would even might say immensely better. That being said, as far as an NFL quarterback, you're talking middle of the road. You know, fantasy-wise, he's not a quarterback one, especially not in New Orleans. Because you said, I mean, you didn't come up. Kamara's going to be suspended, right? I imagine anyway. That trial, I think, is July 31st that starts here. I mean, they have video of him. I have a hard time seeing him getting away with this, especially once it's released there. So I think he will get somewhere around the four games there. Other than that, you have Chris Olave, and that's it. You know, I mean, if he couldn't really light it up with, you know, hey, Davante Adams, Darren Waller, you know, and the wide receivers he had in Vegas, almost at Oakland, I don't know what he's going to do with New Orleans here. So I can't see fantasy-wise Carr being anything more than a quarterback two. Kamara probably drops down to a running back two as well. He might have been a running back two anyway, the way he's been playing of late here. Olave's a good wide receiver, just maybe not on the greatest fantasy team on the planet here.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Carr has pretty good success of making sure his top guy does pretty well. You know, he sat obviously over 300 points last season for Davante Adams. Darren Waller had two really phenomenal years at tight end. Hunter Renfrow, two seasons ago, had 260 PPR points. Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper were both wide receiver twos on the same team. I think a lot of it is just going to come down to how does the team call plays. Is the team going to be a little bit more aggressive than they were last season, or are they going to be kind of boring and conservative? The Saints defense is quite good, so we'll see what direction the team decides to go. I think actually a Kamara suspension might help Olave a little bit, because what are you going to do? You're going to hand the ball off to who's even the backup running back on the New Orleans Saints right now? I don't even think we know. Probably they'll draft someone. They'll sign a guy cheap in free agency. And then just real quick here, I mean, the Jets were definitely the team rumored over the weekend to be in on Carr. What do we think the Jets do now? I think Robert Saleh, obviously former defensive coordinator in San Francisco, I think they probably reach out to Jimmy Garoppolo at this point.
Well, the Jets are going to be all in on Aaron Rodgers if Rodgers wants to be traded, right? If he doesn't want to play in Green Bay anymore. But I got to tell you.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Man, the longer this goes on with Rodgers, the longer I think he's going to stay in Green Bay. That he doesn't want to leave there. You know, I think if he wanted to leave, he would have already done it here. Because even he has to realize, well, the price just went up for my services, which is, you know, he may not care, but that's the team I'm going with. That's less weapons they have to put around me now. So it doesn't make sense for him to really leave as much now. I don't know where he's going. Well, Garoppolo does make sense. He would be the number three free agent quarterback on my list.
All right, there we go. Guys, we got a jam-packed show for you. We're going to take a look at Craig's Miami Marlins. We're going to take a look at some of the results from the NFL Combine. In the betting market, don't go anywhere. Smarter to stay on the grid. Stay with us for the next hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. As we do every day on the show leading up to the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, we are going to preview one team's projected lineup, starting pitching rotation and closer, taking a look at their NFBC ADP, giving some opinions on how we value those guys. And Funnily enough, Craig out of the office today, but we are going to be taking a look at his Miami Marlins, which there is one player on the offense who is going in the top 200 picks. They do have some decent pitchers. In fact, probably every single pitcher they have, you could probably talk yourself into at some point. Like, they all have ADPs that suggest people are somewhat excited about them, I suppose, other than Johnny Cueto. We have Jazz Chisholm, who is the cover of MLB The Show this season. The newly acquired Luis Arraez. You know, I mean, George, it's going to be the same deal as it is every single year with the Miami Marlins. They are not going to hit. One injury to Chisholm, Osolaire, or Arraez brings them down to basically, you know, zero above average Major League Baseball hitters. It's a problem. But Chisholm is at least pretty exciting for fantasy.
He is, although I do wonder, him moving to center field, does that affect things a little bit here? Will his mind be too much on playing a new position here? Or could it be the opposite? Maybe he doesn't care about the position. He'll just worry about hitting and be a terrible defensive player. So we'll see how that works out for you, the position switch there. The problem here is, Arraez, he won the batting title in the American League last year, but that's all he does. You know, he's a singles hitter, going to bat in third for you. Good luck with that. Gene Segura, third baseman, another singles hitter. Yeah, you know, that's going to be a little rough to do here. Even your power hitters, your Soler, Cooper, Garcia. We're not talking about major power here, especially in this ballpark where you need a bazooka to get the ball out there. And these are all, let's face it, not exactly your number one guys when you're thinking of power here. All right, they're your poor man's power. It's really what it comes down to here. The offense is a work in progress, but this is what it is every season. Right, it is every season here. Yes, I like Chisholm. I think he could be a star in the making here. There's power there. There's average. There's speed. But after that, I'm not so sure there's anybody I'm remotely interested in. Not in my starting lineup here. A reserve? Yeah, okay, I might take a shot at Soler. A shot at Garcia. Cooper? Probably not. Maybe a corner infielder, UT at best here. But there's just not a lot to like here.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably part of what's going to happen is it's going to depend on stolen bases and how those get generated in Major League Baseball this season. I think the market and honestly even projection systems are expecting steals to go back up a little bit this season due to the larger bases. I know it seems so silly for maybe someone who's not a mega nerd, but the larger bases, I think, will have an impact in the percentage of steals that are qualified as successful. But the Marlins, I mean, George, they might lead the National League in stolen bases. They have Jazz, who steals a lot, Segura, who steals a lot, Wendell, who steals, De La Cruz steals a little bit, even Jacob Stallings projects for like 3 or 4. They have some guys with some speed on the bench as well. I mean, Jonathan Birdie, I believe he was on pace to steal like 70 last season before he got injured. We'll see how much he ends up playing. So it's sort of interesting, but if everyone's stealing base, right, if everyone gets like 6 or 7, if it's just that's how easy it becomes to steal bases, then these guys, even Jazz, who's a top 50 pick, is going to lose a lot of value. But if steals continue on the trend that it's been, and the trend line for steals in Major League Baseball has basically been off a cliff for the last 5 years, then these guys are not going to be interesting at all. But I do really like taking Jazz where he's going, because I think he could be a 30-30 guy, honestly.
The problem with stolen bases is this. I'm curious this year as well, because the bases are a little bigger. That's going to add about 6 inches to less room you have to run there. So I'm curious about that. The pitcher can only disengage from the rubber twice without balking. That should help runners as well, especially if they throw over the first time. A little bigger lead there. So, yeah, I'm curious about it. But what people have to remember are, I don't know how much this is going to change teams' philosophy. Moneyball, which came out in the 90s here, has changed teams where they believe those outs are so precious. Before the season, if you weren't stealing if you weren't successful stealing 80% of the time, a lot of teams didn't want you running. They didn't like they don't want to give up one out of 27. Those 27 outs are precious. So I'm curious, Davis, are general managers going to change their mind here? Okay, let's steal. Most teams run by analytics here. Are they going to change their mind, run with reckless abandon here? Or is that what's going to be in April and we go back to normal in May? Is it going to depend on your success rate? How do they feel that the bigger bases, the disengagement from the rubber, how do they feel that changes the game here? I'm curious, though, if it's going to be the Wild West out there, let's go. 80s Cardinals here, everyone's running. Well, yeah, if you're fast, if you're good, yeah, you get to run more. But if you're not stealing at a 4/5 clip, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're definitely that. I think, I mean, you make the point, right? It didn't change because guys got worse at stealing bases overnight. It's because we learned the value of an out, and learning the value of an out changed the perspective of how often you should be running. Now, the pitching for the Miami Marlins, George, sort of the opposite. These guys are all very interesting. Sandy Alcantara, absolutely unbelievable. Top 30 ADP. He's phenomenal. Jesus Luzardo. I mean, you're going to know more than I would, but I know that this guy has been he was a top prospect. Then he was a bust. Then he was fine. You know, and he's had his injury issues. Obviously he got traded away from the Oakland Athletics, who feels like the Oakland Athletics have about 19 guys exactly like Jesus Luzardo, who are always, you know, top 50 Baseball America pitching prospects. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, there is no such thing as a pitching prospect. Johnny Cueto. I mean, look, Johnny Cueto has got to be almost 40 years old at this point. It feels like he's been pitching for my entire adult life. Like he was an old Wiley veteran when he played for my Kansas City Royals. Trevor Rogers, you know, not the same sort of ceiling as Luzardo. That's reflected in his average draft position. And then Edward Cabrera, he is a guy, George, that at 220 overall, I'm going to be taking some stabs on him, I think.
All right. First of all, you owe Johnny Cueto an apology, man. He's 37. Turned 37 about three weeks ago.
Okay, all right.
Happy birthday, Johnny. All right. Now, you're right about Cueto. He has been around forever. He's an innings eater at this point, although pitching in the right ballpark, right? Pitching in the Grand Canyon there. So good for him there. Alcantara is great. All right. So, he's an SP1. Go for it. Go grab him there. Lozardo's going to get you a lot of strikeouts. I think he is starting to reach his potential that we saw with the Oakland Athletics there. And once again, all these pitches are valuable because they're pitching in the Grand Canyon. All right. This is the anti-Coors Field, right? The ball does not travel well in Miami. There's not going to be a lot of runs scored here. This team is going to try to win a lot of 3-2 ball games. It's how they have to win here. You have to manufacture runs, whether it's bunting, stealing, you know, hitting behind base runners, hitting runs, and all that good stuff that used to make baseball fun back in the 70s and 80s. That's how they're going to have to do it and pitch well. And they should be able to do it. Trevor, you know, you mentioned Cabrera, who I love Cabrera, by the way. I have him in a deep dynasty league. I had him, you know, forever. Maybe this will be the year, although right now he may not be in the starting rotation. We'll see. I think he gets there eventually, but we'll see. Trevor Rogers, he's another guy who was a top prospect. Did well his first year, then, you know, not so much after that. Can he figure it out this year? They did get bad news about Sixto Sanchez, who, once again, was supposed to be another top prospect. Just doesn't look like he's going to pan out. Shoulder problems again.
Yeah. It's sad. You know, I mean, but that is the deal with these young pitchers. You just never know, which actually, funnily enough, George, very evident when you look at the Miami Marlins bullpen and you look at who's projected to lead them in saves. They have probably the funniest distribution of saves on Steamer of anyone. They have four different guys projected for six or more saves, including former top prospect AJ Puck. They have Tanner Scott, Dylan Floral, Matt Barnes, Stephen Okert. Who are you stabbing on here as a closer?
Who am I wow. You know, if AJ Puck wasn't already down, he's got a little bit of an injury here, it would probably be him, because I think he might have the best upside out of all this. He's got a groin injury. I think he's going to be okay.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Here, I would probably still take a shot at Puck, but my answer is this. No matter who you take, they're not going to keep the job.
Yeah, I think that is good advice. AJ Puck seems like a good stab to take for me. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run to break here real quick on the program. When we return, we are going to take a look at some of the NFL draft betting odds and how they have changed as a result of the scouting combine. It's smarter to be on the grid. Be back here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Matic, joined by George Kurtz. And honestly, probably a good thing that Craig's not in here today, because I know he wasn't as locked in to the NFL scouting combine as I was. George, I got to admit, I'm sitting there. I'm waiting on bated breath. I'm following my guys. I'm responding. I'm reacting. I got my rankings pulled up. I'm looking at my dynasty teams being like, oh, look at all these first round picks I have. Look at all these second round picks I have. I can't wait. And I think probably most interesting is that there was actually some huge movement in the betting markets this weekend. I think a lot of the times we sort of know who's going to be the number one overall pick by the end of the combine. I would say this is kind of the most up in the air it's been. I suppose last year there was a rather late shift as well, because there wasn't, a generational quarterback prospect. Well, and there are probably multiple really great quarterback prospects this year and next season. I got to know before we get into this, are you as much of a nerd as me? Are you sitting there watching the underwear Olympics? Are you watching these dudes do the 40-yard dash?
See, this is where age will come into this for you. When I was your age, yeah. You get to my age, you're like, you just said it's the underwear Olympics. I'll never understand why they don't do this in full pads. This baffles me that they don't do this in full pads with a football. If you're going to have these guys doing a 40-yard dash, why aren't they in full pads carrying a football? All right, that's what they should be doing. All right, that would give you a better accuracy here. Who cares if the quarterback, what was it? I forget, was it Young or Stroud, that, 40 and a half inches? What does a quarterback need to do that? All right, how is that important? It baffles me a little bit. You start looking at it in a more reality. Don't get me wrong. Okay, you mentioned Dynasty League. Yeah, I got my, I looked at my Dynasty. Oh, I got the eighth pick. I start going around. Eighth pick. What am I going to get at eighth? It's terrible. It's a Dynasty League. It means I'm finishing in the middle, right? I don't suck to get a top pick, and I wasn't competing for a trophy last year. So I look at it. I try and fill up my little roster here. Who am I going to be able to get? Who's going to fall to me at eight? That sort of thing. So I like it. I watch it. I do. But probably not as crazy as I used to be, because I just understand it. It's all hype more than anything else. Everything's going to change. What we thought 10 days ago has now changed a little bit, right? You just said it. You change your rankings a little bit. Everybody else has. Give it 10 more days and things will change again for whatever reason. That's just the way the game is played.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. So the biggest movement in these markets was in to be both the number one overall pick and the first quarterback taken. Bryce Young. Just getting up to the weight that Bryce Young got to, I think there were some people who were worried Bryce Young was going to be like 5'9", 184 pounds. He got up to, basically, he got measured the same as former Heisman Trophy winner and number one overall pick Kyler Murray. He is minus 230 to be the first quarterback taken. C.J. Stroud, who to me, I think, George, if I was the Texans, if I was one of these teams, I think I'd take Stroud first. I don't know. I just think he seems much. I don't think he's as good of a thrower. I don't think he's as good of a passer, obviously, as Bryce Young. But he did really well in the drills, and he is, prototypical quarterback size, 6'2", 210 pounds. Like, he's a big guy. But obviously, the talk of the weekend, Anthony Richardson, unbelievable, 245 pounds, 4.43 40. The highest vertical leap ever recorded by a quarterback. Basically, he had the best underwear Olympics of any quarterback ever in the database that we have of these results. And does he have a lot of work to do as a passer? Does he have a lot of recognition? Is he going to take a lot of coaching? Absolutely. I think even he would tell you that. But to me, I mean, George, if I'm, the Carolina Panthers, one of these teams picking like ninth or something, I think I'm just taking Anthony Richardson and saying, we are going to develop this guy and figure it out. If I was going to bet on one of these, I would bet Richardson instead of Bryce Young at the minus 230.
The problem is this. You said if you were Carolina at nine, you would take Richardson. He's not going at nine. There's no way he's lasting till nine. Just no way.
You got to trade up. You got to trade up.
Yeah, right. And right now, Chicago's in a great position, right? Great position, because there are going to be so many teams, even Houston. You brought up that you'd be happy with Stroud, right? Well, let's say for giggles here that Houston's not. That they want Bryce, hey, we want Young. Damn Lovie Smith for winning that last game. We lost the number one pick here. They'll talk to Chicago about moving up just the one pick here. All right, then Indianapolis at four, right? They might want to move up here. to get it. What if Seattle decides? We're going to find out tomorrow, right? In about 28 hours. What about if Seattle goes, nah, we're not going to franchise Geno Smith. We're not going to do it. They might want a quarterback at 5. All right, that would be pure Anthony Richardson territory right there, right? And you can go on and on here. Raiders at 7, Atlanta at 8, Carolina at 9. All these teams have to make moves here. This is going to be wild. This is why teams like Chicago, don't forget Arizona at 3 is in another great spot. I do expect quarterbacks to go 1-2. So Arizona at 3 gets, oh, you want Richardson? Come talk to me. You know, if someone likes Levis, come talk to me. You know, so I think the first round is going to be crazy. That first third of the first round, the top 10 picks, is going to be crazy with trades as teams are jockeying to get the quarterback either that they want or that is available for them to take.
Yeah, I think you are probably right. Now, there was also movement in the first wide receiver taken market. So the big thing at wide receiver was Jordan Addison basically got himself disqualified. Jordan Addison had a terrible combine. He was short. He was slow. He, I believe, weighed in at 173 pounds. He did pretty good in the short shuttle drills. So I think there's probably still a chance, just based off his college production, that he ends up being a first round pick. I mean, probably the biggest thing with him is that teams just need wide receivers, George. They are so thirsty. They are so hungry for wide receivers. And this is like an all-time bad wide receiver class. Like, we've talked about this a bunch on the show, but it's like Mecole Hardman, DJ Shark, Jacoby Myers. Like Jacoby Myers might get $100 million contract. That's how bad the free agent market is this offseason. But, I mean, Quentin Johnson, I think this is a bad number. I think he should be like minus 150 to be the first wide receiver taken, because he did amazing in his drills, right? He was probably the most impressive wide receiver in the drills. Now, he didn't run the 40, but he did the short shuttle and all the all the stuff that he needed to do. I thought his vert was good. Like, just everything he did was good. And I don't know if you saw this, but there was that report on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Smith and Jigba did really well at the three cone and the short shuttle, but there was that report on Saturday morning that he was skipping the 40 because people in his camp hand timed him at 4.8. 4.8 at the 40. I mean, he's still going to be a first round pick because he did so well at Ohio State and he did so well at the short shuttle, but I'm officially worried about him. I would take this Quentin Johnson number all the way down to like minus 150, I think.
I'm probably with you here as far as Johnson. He'll be the first wide receiver taken there. But I think it's also going to be a little tricky here for a couple of reasons. Well, you already mentioned it, by the way. This is a horrific free agent class. I mean, I guess Odell Beckham might be your number one guy there if you believe that he's recovered from yet another ACL, right? So he'll be that number one guy that teams are going to go after. I guess the trade market could be big. Right, especially if Arizona wants to get rid of Hopkins, maybe we'll see something work there. We heard this morning that the Rams want to move on from Allen Robinson. Well, of course they do. He was terrible last year. I'm sure they do want to move on from him. Good luck moving that contract. Not without eating, two-thirds of it at least anyway. But we'll see there. But I think we're going to see in the draft is teams reaching, almost in every draft. I mean, let's face it. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that, Young is the number one overall pick. If not for for being a quarterback, is he the best player in the draft? Probably not. But it's a quarterback. Teams are always going to take that. I think we're going to see the same thing in wide receivers. They're going to be taken earlier than they probably should because there's no one else there, and you have to have them. If you have a quarterback, you have to have a wide receiver. You have to have it because that's what the NFL is nowadays. Throw the football. Big plays here. The game is geared towards the passing game here. So I think we're going to see that here. Although when you look at it, though, who's the first team to take a wide receiver? Chicago, I still think, wants that top defensive player. I don't think they're going to move down maybe more than 4. I think they'll go to 4 in Indianapolis, but they won't move down further than that, and they'll take the second best overall player there. Once again, quarterbacks will go 1-2. Arizona takes the best defensive player. Chicago gets the next one there. Seattle's not taking a wide receiver. Detroit at 6. Davis, Detroit at 6. That's where I would have the first wide receiver possibly going here. Which I can see that as well, which would make some sense here, right? They're building up a good team, good offensive line, good running back. Whatever you think about Jared Goff, he's at least an average quarterback. You got a number one. St. Brown, right? You may have put somebody else in them, but they took a wide receiver number one last year. Would they do it again? I'm thinking, you know, that's the first place I can see it, but no. Atlanta, if they don't take a quarterback. Carolina, if they don't take a quarterback. I could see wide receivers slipping for more than we think as well here. But then again, I also can't see Atlanta, Carolina, you know, all these teams getting quarterbacks. It's not going to happen. So somewhere in there.
Yeah, and then real quick, same exercise. Team to draft Bijan Robinson. I think the odds are pretty interesting. The team I thought was interesting was the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, I think, are going to be one of those teams who trades back. They're picking at three. I believe DraftKings has them at 20-1. So you trade back, you get an extra first-round pick, and you're like, I mean, let's just do something fun. We're the Cardinals. We stink. No one cares about us. Let's just take Bijan Robinson at 23 or whatever that was. But obviously, your Dallas Cowboys, my former Dallas Cowboys, they would love to take Bijan Robinson. You know, let Tony Pollard go. Don't use the franchise tag on Tony Pollard. You cut Zeke and you just start the experiment of taking the first round running back all over again until everyone ends up being sick of Bijan as well. Guys, that was a look at the NFL draft betting market. We're going to run to break here real quick on the program. When we return, we are going to continue our discussion with some fantasy or reality TV.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Of course, as always, a quick reminder before we get into fantasy or reality to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You're going to get all the best news, notes, highlights, analysis, injury updates, everything you need to just be betting on sports at every available opportunity. Manage your fantasy teams. We got you covered here at the network, so make sure that you are following at Twitter. At Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter and Instagram. George, real quick before we get into fantasy or reality, there is a report circulating right now that the Tennessee Titans are shopping around Derrick Henry, which does totally make sense. If they've already cut a bunch of their veteran players, they have already moved on from a lot of their veteran players. I would imagine Ryan Tannehill might be looking in a different direction. It's a full-on tear down in Tennessee. They are going to be tanking for the University of Southern California's Caleb Williams. Where do we think Derrick Henry is going to play in 2023?
The question is where. I'll still say Tennessee. I think it's going to be a little tough to move him and move that contract. Is he 30 years old? A lot of tread on those tires. He's been hurt a bit lately. Not quite the same back here. If they're going to move for anything they can get for him, they'll take the best thing we can get. I mean, Buffalo does make some sense, right? Oh, boy, a bruising running back there. I could certainly see that. Philadelphia, okay, maybe there. I'm not against that either here. I think he would make some sense there as well. Other than that, where? Most of the good teams already have that running back here. Kansas City? Well, I guess they would be interested. If Andy Reid wants to go to that kind of offense, though, I'd be shocked if he does. He would make sense for a lot of teams. I just don't know what teams want to take on the contract and pay the prospect or draft pick price here. I think it's going to be very tough for them. I think Tennessee would have to realize you may not get a number one for him back.
Number one, I would be surprised if they get a number three back for him. I think probably if the Tennessee Titans are going in that direction, they would simply be happy just to not have to pay the $16 million that he counts against the cap. Now, the mitigating factor, I think, for Henry probably would be that his contract can be reduced to zero after this season. It's non-guaranteed the next 2 years. So, you know, look, the Tennessee Titans don't really need their cap space this year. I would imagine, if anything, trading Derrick Henry might even be done as a favor to him so that he gets to play some competitive football this year, because the Tennessee Titans are not going to be competitive. They are I don't know. I mean, could they be worse than the Texans? I guess if Bryce Young or CJ Stroud is really good, they could maybe even finish last in that division. So So it's a tough scene there. I mean, look, the Titans, they gave it a good run with Tannehill and Henry. They traded AJ Brown away. In hindsight, that does not look particularly intelligent there. So we'll see how that ends up working out for them. And of course, guys, we are now heading into fantasy or reality. All right, so I think a very appropriate place for us to start. We just talked a little bit about the NFL draft betting market. Fantasy or reality, George? Anthony Richardson, not Bryce Young, not CJ Stroud, not Will Anderson. Anthony Richardson will be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
You know, I'm starting to think that Anthony Richardson might end up being the best overall quarterback in this draft. All right, that he'll be the best of the top four that we're seeing, mentioned the most, right? Stroud, Levis, Young. Then it'll be Richardson in 5 years from now. We're going, oh, wow, he's the best one. So, when you think about the Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, that it looks like Justin Fields might be the best quarterback in that draft, right? But he didn't go number one. He was the first quarterback taken here. So same thing here. That being said, that's not the question here. The question is that Richardson will go number one? No. I think it's Young. You know, I would be very surprised if it's not Young right now. I'm the first to tell you, hey, it is March 6th. Now, when's the draft? Late April. You got 7 weeks. Things could certainly drastically change here for any one of a number of reasons. We see it almost every year. But I think right now, if you're asking me, it's going to be Young. And I think it is Stroud. I think it's Richardson. I guess the order. Young, Stroud, Richardson as far as the quarterbacks taken in the draft here. I'm not saying they're going 1, 2, 3, although that wouldn't shock me either, by the way. As you said, that Chicago trades out, Arizona also trades out. I wouldn't be floored at all if those three are the top three picks, but in that order. So for me, Davis, this is a fantasy.
I think it's a fantasy as well. It's a fantasy right now, Monday, March 3rd, 2023. But I guarantee you, George, one of these gems, I don't know who, I don't know what team, I don't know what front office, but one of them is going to get the biggest NFL draft crush you have ever seen on Anthony Richardson. They're going to watch the tape. They're going to get him in the meeting. They're going to talk to his college coach. They're going to, get him in for the private workout, watching him throw against air. And one of these guys is going to lose their minds for Anthony Richardson. The question is, does the team that wants Bryce Young also lose their minds? Because I think there's going to be like a small bidding war for that number one overall pick. The Bears really did luck out with the Houston Texans winning that meaningless game in week 18. Because if not, the Bears pick two, number one is probably Bryce Young. The Texans probably just take Bryce Young and go from there. And the bidding war would be way less. But yeah, I think Bryce will go first. Honestly, I think your analysis was correct though. Like if you had to start a game right now, Bryce would be the best. Stroud would be the second best. Richardson would be the third best. But in terms of my future, like who they could be, will any of these guys win an MVP? Will any of these guys win a Super Bowl? I'd put Richardson first, Stroud second, Young third in terms of their ability to do that, which I think is sort of interesting in terms of drafting a quarterback in a similar vein. We got all these teams trying to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. I know it's early right now, but it is going to be absolutely nuts how much movement we see in the quarterback position this offseason. And I think the team that this team, the New York Football Giants, is really in between a rock and a hard place with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley both becoming free agents at the same time. Probably the two most beloved players on the team, probably the two most important players on the team in terms of how they view themselves. The Giants have loved Barkley since they drafted him second overall, but they can only franchise tag one of them. Now the reports are that it's sounding different than the last time we talked about this. It's now sounding like Daniel Jones is going to get the tag and Barkley's going to get the multi-year deal, which, George, I actually think is the smart way to handle it. But fantasy reality, the Giants will bring back both Jones and Barkley next season.
Yeah, I think, when it comes to Daniel Jones, what, he wants more than $45 million a season? Man, he's got the good stuff, right? He's smoking the good stuff. Good for you. Good for you and your agent. Hey, you never get what you don't ask for, so why not ask for the moon here? That's what they're doing. Now, you said it's the smart thing to franchise Jones? Yeah, it depends. he has another good year, then it's not the smart thing, right? Then it's actually the dumb thing to do, because quarterback prices only go higher. They never go lower. All right, and the TV contracts are kicking in, which is why he's asking for $45+ million, by the way. His agent knows the TV contracts are kicking in, and all these contracts are going to get skyrocket. All right, so I don't know. I mean, I have my doubts about Daniel Jones, and there's a lot of me that wants to say, franchise him, give yourself a year, another year to evaluate him. But the problem is, as the Cowboys found out with Dak, right, you did the same thing. And then he played well, and his price just went higher. You know, next year it won't be $45 million, it'll be $50+ million he wants if he has another good year. I understand his ifs there. Has to have another good year. You know, but that's my issue there. That being said, that's not the question. I think this is reality. I think both will be back. I think you already said it. I think they are going to franchise Daniel Jones in about 28 hours here. And I think Barkley will get the multi-year deal. Barkley has the most value to the Giants. If he goes to someplace else, he won't get that big, as big a contract here. So, yes, I agree. Jones, Barkley, reality, both back with the Giants next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you again hit the nail on the head. Barkley, I think, really does not want to be franchise tagged because of what you just said. No team wants to pay Barkley more than the Giants. They're just like, you know, it's just a weird organizational thing there. The ownership loves Barkley. The ownership is probably in the ears of the front office saying, you better freaking not let Saquon Barkley go because we love this guy. And the funniest thing about all of this was that the Giants are just, it's so dumb when teams do this. Like, if unless a quarterback is a Josh Rosen, you know, Jamarcus Russell level nightmare, just pick up the fifth year option. If you're planning on playing them, if they are going to be on your roster, just pick up the fifth year option, because this situation could be so easily avoided, right? I mean, the rumors we are hearing is that Daniel Jones and his agent, which, by the way, good for them, they should be doing this, are asking for $45 million per year. $45 million per year is what Daniel Jones is asking for. And again, I think you could argue that just based on the trend that the quarterback position is going for, how competitive the Giants were. But you know what? They could have picked up his fifth year option and owed him $22 million next season, right? That would have been his number. And that is that actually, no, I'm wrong. That is the franchise tag number, the projected number. He could have been owed $9 million next season. So this is just all time bad decision making by the Giants. They're going to end up giving him the deal. He's going to get 5 years, 40, 45 million ish per year. A lot of that money is going to be guaranteed. And through really no fault of his own, Daniel Jones is not going to live up to that contract. And the Giants are going to be on the treadmill of mediocrity and not win the division. And they could have avoided all of this. They're stupid for not doing it. So I got reality as well. Finally, you know, the Kelce brothers, they are just so good on TV, on their podcasts, you know, at the press conferences. And, you know, I don't think Travis Kelce is going to retire from professional football quite yet to start his, you know, acting career. But he is, every time this guy, he hosted Saturday Night Live over the weekend. There were a lot of clips going around. So simple question, George. Travis Kelce was good on Saturday Night Live, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, if only those Kelce brothers had a personality, right? They are fun. All right, they are fun. I didn't watch, at least not the whole show. Yeah, I saw snippets like everybody else online, whatever it might be. Yeah, from what I saw, yeah, he was good. All right, I don't know. Maybe he'll be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know, but I thought he was good. All right, that's the bottom line here. So yeah, I think this is reality. I didn't dislike it. Oh God, he's terrible. No, I thought it was all right. I wasn't rushing to flip the channel.
Yeah. So I obviously did not watch this because I don't know. I've not watched an entire episode of Saturday Night Live in, I mean, got to be a decade at this point. I have watched entire episodes of Saturday Night Live, but yeah, I mean, the prevalence of social media now just makes it so that you only see the good stuff, or you can go to Hulu and just watch the highlight stuff. Like, you can go into an episode of Saturday Night Live and just watch the thing that got the most, you know, thumbs ups or the most views or whatever. But yeah, he was freaking awesome at Saturday Night Live. It's like, Kelce is just such a personable, funny guy, even off the football field, that of course he was gonna knock this out of the park. And definitely think he is one of those guys who has a career in television when he's done. Guys, that was Fantasy Reality. If you missed any of the show today, some NFL draft betting market analysis, a preview of the Miami Marlins for the NFBC. You can go back and watch all of that on demand. We're about to wrap the show up here. We got one more segment left. Sports Grid 60. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us for that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. As always, we're going to go ahead and end the program with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, as I keep mentioning, tomorrow is the day where we'll find out who's going to get franchise tagged in the NFL. And I think one of the biggest people waiting for, what is Baltimore going to do with Lamar Jackson? Because I got to tell, I don't understand it. I think he is your quarterback. Why you're playing games with this guy, I don't get it. And Davis, if they don't put the number one exclusive franchise tag on, they put that non-exclusive tag or whatever, it means they want to move on. Because there will be offers made to him, right? Whoever, maybe it's the Jets, right? Just not going to have a call. Let's say if Rodgers doesn't want to go there, Jets like, you know, we'll give you a couple of number ones for Lamar. Hell, we like that better than Rodgers, right? We'll have him for years. Not just a couple of years there. We got someone who's probably got his head more screwed on, right, than Rodgers does. Little knows he's a diva. So I just don't – bottom line is I just don't understand what Baltimore is doing with Jackson. Your whole offense is built around him. Why are you playing games with this man? Makes no sense to me.
Yep, I'm definitely with you there. I mean, look, so all of this quarterback stuff is so fascinating. It's just like – I guess the most interesting thing with all of this is a updated reflection on positional value in the NFL. It gets sort of felt like for a long time, NFL teams were kind of behind the curve on the positions that mattered, the players that mattered. And now we're sort of seeing what happens in hyper-efficient market, which is that really there are three positions that teams are going nuts for. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and then edge rushers. Although the difference is, every once in a while, you might get a good edge rusher in free agency. Never happens anymore. Like, it's just, well, I can't even remember the last good edge rusher who was available. These guys just get mega extensions from their teams. So that is just, it's just always interesting to see the free market at work inside of the NFL. Thank you to George. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Brett, all of our friends over at LTN. That was Fantasy Sports Today. Come back with us and join us tomorrow.